Okay, so we're going to do the next thing, yep. Working our way. Well, actually, we're skipping, to be honest. Oh, no, we already skipped. So, but I just want to point out that there's a segment which we skipped, which I'd like to come back to, Yontif time. But it's about davening, about how you daven on Shabbos, Yontif, when they coincide, things like that. I guess into some Rosh Chodesh stuff, Chol Moed stuff. I mean, it's kind of like a more Moed type of sugya. So, you know, maybe like around Pesach time or Sukkot time, you know, Pesach time, or probably Pesach time, maybe Purim. So maybe we'll do that. This it's not exactly a Pesach sugya, but it's kind of a Yontif sugya. So I don't know, maybe we'll do that. So we'll see. But for the time being, we're still in the middle of doing Erev Tov Shilin. So I'd rather just kind of let that slide and, you know, keep working through. We have a few more things left at Erev Tov Shilin. Doesn't keep on going forever. You know, we've almost covered all the sugyas. Oh. Okay. So what we're going to do now is Tan Rabban on it. Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. About halfway down the page. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Ofen Miyantif L'Chavera. One is not allowed to cook from Yontif to the next day of Yontif, to its friend. Okay? Be'emes Amru, in truth, they said, Min Mala'a Isha Kol Hakadera Basar. Afal Pishen Eshicha Al-Chatichachas. So a woman is allowed to fill, or a man for that matter, you're allowed to fill an entire pot of meat and put it on the flame, on Yontif, even though she only needs one piece of meat. But she can put it all, you know, in one shot on the flame and then be able to have extras for the next day. Or even for, a call. Right? Why? So it says, Rashi says, because it's sufficient in one tircha. Just takes one bother. Funny language why he says that. One bother. Okay, so it says one bother. So we didn't read that part yet. Okay, so that's the next part of the Gemara. So it says, similarly, Mimale Nachtom Chavis Shel Mayim Afishin Shel Chalikito Nachon. So a Nachtom is like, it's like a baker, right? So a baker could fill a pitcher of water, even though he only needs a Chavis is like a barrel of water, even though he needs one Tekiton, like a pitcher, a cup, or whatever, a smaller amount, right? So he could fill a big thing, even though he needs a small thing. What's the problem of filling up what is that problem?
Maybe it's like, I don't know, what's the malacha in filling? You know, tsa?
I'm not really sure. Maybe it's a tircha,
you're not supposed to do that kind of stuff on you, I don't know. What he's saying is, it's one filling, so you don't have to fill only the amount that you need, you fill the thing. It's one the same thing. It's one tircha. Right, it's one filling, it's sufficient.
Why is it a tircha?
That's a good question what he means by tircha. But he means like, I don't know, he means like one, I don't know, one bother, one, I would have said one action. That is one action. But Rashi doesn't say one action, he's calling it one tircha.
I mean, I would say the opposite, it's not tircha, it's you have
even. It means one tircha, it means the action, there's the putting it on the flame, or the drawing the water, or it's drawing the water, it's a tircha. Putting a thing on the flame is a tircha. But now if you do it in one tircha, you can do it in a lot of tircha. So the thing is, when I put it all in one big pot on the flame, it's one tircha. I draw the barrel from the water, it's one tircha. It's not, yeah, if I did one tircha and then 5 minutes later I want to do another tircha for chol that I can't do, or for the second day of that I can't do. If I put one pot on the flame and then I want to take another tircha pot and then do that action again for a chol or for the second day of that I can't do. But here, since it's one tircha, so therefore it's sufficient. Again, that's an outstanding question, is why he calls it a tircha. I mean, it would have been simpler to say one action. But maybe this will become a little clearer in a second. So it says, Avalafos eino ofel mashatzarach. But for baking, you're only allowed to bake that which you need. Okay, Rashi. Kol kikar v'kikar, what's the question? Tzricha or aricha afia radia latzma. Every kikar needs to be like shaped and baked and peeled off of the oven. There's a whole process, and it's, so to speak, a bread-by-bread affair, right? You can't mass-produce them. You have to deal with their shape and whatever, each one individually. So and that's all malachas, right? Like kneading it is going to be a malacha, and putting in the oven is going to be a malacha, and you know, you have to deal with them one at a time. This thing is one, you're talking about a pot, so you take all the pieces of meat, throw them all into a pot. That's not a malacha yet, when you put it in a pot. So now it's in a pot, you have a pot full of water with meat in it, big deal, it's no malacha yet. Now what's the malacha? When you take the pot and put it on the flame. So even though you have some meat pieces of meat are for today and some pieces of meat are for tomorrow, so still it's all one tircha, it's one action of putting it on the flame, and therefore that's all permitted. It's all permitted on Yom Tov, even though some of it is going to be used afterwards. But by baking, so you have to do separate tirchas, separate processes, separate whatever it is that you're doing for each and every bread. So you would be allowed to do this tirchas for the Yom Tov breads, but not for the after Yom Tov breads. Okay, so there's no trick to do a lot. It would be like, for instance, if you had maybe just an easier example for us to think about, is let's say you have, you want to make pasta for, Yom Tov. But you have it right after Yom Tov, it's on Yom Tov. Right after Yom Tov, you have a big party, and you have, having a lot of people over to have a lot of pasta. So you take a big pot, fill it with water, and then fill it up with a lot of pasta, much more than you need for Yom Tov, but you can need some for afterwards. And you'd be able to put it on the fire, and it's all going to cook. Because it's one cooking, it's the same tircha, whether you're making a lot of pasta or a little pasta, it's the same thing. Right? Okay, fine. I mean, the same case as I mean, basically. Okay. So that's good. Then it says, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, he argues, Mimala Yisra Kol Tanar Pas. He could even fill the whole oven with bread. Because the bread is baked well when the oven is full.
Who is this again?
Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The bread is better. A full oven cooks bread better. Okay, I mean, let's see Rashi. And Malayisha the lafas ki tamrin katanim hayu. They were very small ovens. Beacon pas b'defanos. And they stuck to the wall. That's what they say. They stick the wall onto the bread, the dough, onto the walls. And we talk shehu malay, and since it's full, mismayit chalalo, there's less space. Ve'ein makom lachamimusu l'espashin. So they're always worried about losing the heat of your oven, okay, in the airspace. But if it's very packed in there, so basically the whole oven, you're not going to have any spot, the heat isn't going to spread out. It's going to all be concentrated. So it's going to cook very well. So the pas is going to get cooked very well. Okay, so it's going to be better for the breads if you basically have a lot of bread stuffed in there. So even though I'm only making one bread for Yom Tov, I'm allowed to be Toreach and shape and this and that for all the breads, even though they're after Yom Tov breads, because that process will enhance my Yom Tov bread. It will enhance my Yom Tov bread. And therefore I could do it on Yom Tov. But the first sheet I held, is there a name, or is it Tanakama, we'll call him? Okay, the Tanakama, the first time I held that it was Aser. That since you're really making that other bread, not for Yom Tov, so you have no right to do it. Right? Okay, so these are the facts. Not too bad. Right, it's like just a normal halakas. Right? Right, nothing complicated. Right? That's a question. One question is what's machlokas, and the only other question I see is why does Rashi say tircha? Right? You may wonder. I mean, the case which the Gemara has is when you're cooking on one day of Yom Tov to the next day. Okay. So you may wonder: is that specifically? Is that dafka? Is it only permitted to cook a whole pot of meat? And you have part of it today and part, you can have the rest of it tomorrow. Is that only permitted when it's Shabbat, when it's Yom Tov to Yom Tov, 2 days Yom Tov, or would that also be permitted in a regular case, like Yom Tov to Chol, let's say? Like my case of the pasta was Yom Tov to Chol, right? So you'll say, hey, what right did I have to do that? That's not the case. The case is where you're doing the first day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov. So if you look at the Rambam, the way he brings it down, it doesn't seem like he holds there's any difference. Because he has in Hilchos Yom Tov, Shvi'is Yom Tov, Aleph, Tes, and Yod. He says, Tess, ain't oven vashem yontif mashiach b'chol. You're not allowed to bake and cook on yontif that which you can eat on chol. L'hutzrim malach shil tzarech chila l'chdi lehenos b'yontif. It's only permitted to have hanaf on yontif. Also, they lechel b'yontif. But if you made it for yontif a hoser and you had leftovers, mutter lechel amoser b'chol. You're allowed to eat the leftovers on chol. Then he says, Mimala yishakadera basar. A woman could fill up a pot of meat. Afishen shil l'chdi rachas, even though she only wants one piece. Umalay nachtom chavish shalamayim. Avabishen zahal kitan echad. Right? Same thing. You fill up the pitcher of water, the big barrel of water, even though you need a little bit. Umalay shatan or pas. Avabishen shalal kitan. She could fill up the oven full of bread, even though she only needs one piece. Bizman shapas. Miruba. Shebizman shapas. Miruba. Nefes yafa, because when there's a lot of bread, it bakes better. Umalay echadim kamachatichos basachas. And you could salt many pieces of meat at the same time, even though you only need one of them. And anything similar to that. Okay, but you see, my point here is that he's not talking about yantif to yantif, he's basically going yantif to the chol. So there's nothing special about yantif to, about yantif to yantif. Okay? Nothing special about that. It's a general halacha. The iser of cooking on yantif to chot after yantif. Let's see a question. Let's say, for instance, I wanted to, make a meat, and then I wanted to make a gravy for the meat, right? For yantif. So that's permitted, right? Because I'll say the gravy is there to enhance the meat, right? So even though, I could even eat without gravy, it's not better. Right? Well, let's say I put the meat in, and there's a great way to make it is if I flip it in the middle. So I flip it, and then I'm enhancing the meat. Right? So, by that logic, why don't you say that I'm making bread, but I can enhance my bread by putting other breads in the oven? It's a method of enhancing the bread. So why don't you say that's the same thing as making gravy? Right? That's part of the process of making bread for yantif, doing it in the best possible way. Right? That would seem to be an argument to say that that you can do it. Right? How could you say what's the argument? What's the counter argument to that? Okay, so Yonis is good. Is that it's not exactly analogous because primarily when you bake other bread, you're baking other bread. So you're making a gravy, who eats gravy? You don't eat gravy. You eat the gravy is gravy of the meat. No one bakes, right? The making the gravy, the action is an action of enhancing your maichal v'yantif, right? Or flipping the steak is an action of enhancing the food of yantif. But baking bread is baking bread. I mean, if I put more bread in the oven, you wouldn't say, oh, look, let's go enhance the other bread, right? For instance, I would think, I'm not sure about this, but if a guy doesn't really need other bread, I'm pretty sure about this, if a guy only really needs one piece of bread, okay, let's say for whatever reason, so it's basically Pesach, and he only has one meal left. No one's going to put in and make a lot of bread in order to enhance that piece of bread. Just don't do that. It's nice, it's like extra topping. If you're making, listen, if you're going to have to make bread for 5 days in a row, so you have two choices, to make bread each of 5 days or to make it in one shot, so you're better off to make it in one shot because it will enhance it, But you're not going to, that's not why you're making the bread, you're making the bread because you have 5 days worth of bread to eat. It's just that you choose to do it all in one shot because that enhances, they enhance each other, so it's the best way to do it. Right? But a guy is not going to. But primarily, the action you're doing is an action of baking for Yafra Chol. It's just that it enhances. It's true. It enhances the Bishul of Yantif. But essentially, you're not doing a Bishul of Yantif. You're doing or an Afil Yantif. You're doing a Yafra Chol. Right? That would be the counter argument. So let's think. Is it? I don't know how many actions is it? Okay, when you're baking this bread, baking the 5 pieces of bread. Right. So definitely in the pig of putting the pot on the fire is one action of cooking a pot full of meat. But when you bake the bread, you bake 5 pieces of bread, do you say that that's one action? Do you say that's 5 separate actions, baking piece 1, piece 2, piece 3, piece 4, piece 5? Or do you say it's one action of baking an oven full of bread? Okay, for instance, if I bake chicken and rice in the oven, so then I'm doing two actions, clearly. Because there's no relationship between the chicken and the rice. They just happen to both be in the oven simultaneously. So therefore you say it's two separate actions that are just occurring simultaneously in the same oven. Right? But when I bake five pieces of bread, they are each enhancing each other. Right? So it's now, you could define it as like one action of baking an oven full of bread. Because the action, even though so it's being mechanically, you know, if you look at it on like a physical level, I'm baking this piece of bread and I'm baking this piece of bread. You know, there are five separate actions of baking the bread. I'm putting it in the oven. But it is there's a phenomenon of baking an oven full of bread. They all enhance each other. And therefore, you could define it as one action of baking an oven full of bread. Right? But that's like a certain way of looking at the action. Like the five cooking, so to speak, are functionally related to each other. Because the whole idea of baking is to make bread, and each one is enhancing the other. So therefore, you could define it as a large activity of baking a lot of bread. And of course, this baking has a tzarich yontif, right? Because at least one of the pieces is for yontif. And this is the way I bake this bread is through this process. And the process is the process of baking bread. And if you look at it as one action, see, the matir is when it's one action. That's why I can put the pot on the oven, because it's one action. So if you look at it as one action of baking a lot of bread, now this action has a tzarich yontif. So it's an action of baking bread with a tzarich yontif. But if I look at it as five separate actions, which happen to are mutually beneficial, then I'll say fine. But this action is a tzarich yontif. This action is not a tzarich yontif. Now it's true; it ends up having a side benefit. But if you look at it as separate actions, you have to define each action based upon its yom, and then they benefit each other. So that's like a question. There's two ways to look at it: baking five pieces of bread. It's five separate actions, each of which enhances the other, or as one process, one action of baking multiple breads, right? One action of making an oven full of bread. Now one thing, one step is that there are two perspectives in defining the action, right? Now, why were you guys looking at it as one action, as five separate actions? When I ask the question, I say, how many actions is it? Well, based on what are you considering as five actions? Why is that your initial thing is five actions?
It's not my initial thing.
But you thought it was one?
I thought it was two actions per piece of bread.
Okay, fine. So that's perfect. That is your initial, right? Fine. So why do you look at it as a separate action for each piece of bread? Why is that your initial? Because in terms of the tircha, of the gavra, it's separate actions. Whereas if you're looking at the action so far as like the person doing X, you know, so he's doing separate things. He's taking one piece of bread and putting it in the oven, taking a different piece of bread, putting it in the oven, taking a different piece of bread. It's not, if you're defining the action in like a mechanical tircha, physically oriented action, there are five separate actions. Putting this piece of bread in the oven, baking this piece of bread, baking this piece of bread, baking this piece of bread, you know, so baking the pot, it's one action of baking a pot of soup, baking a pot of meat. But in the bread, it's an action, if you define the action so far as the gavra, so far as his tircha, mechanically, what he's doing is five separate actions. But if you define the action as an action of yontif in a more abstract framework, not by physically how many things is he doing, but insofar as like the product of the action, he's making a batch of bread. Right? It's one action of making a batch of bread. There's a concept of a batch, of a mutually beneficial, you know, of an oven full of bread. So if you define it as that, so it's true, the action of baking an oven full of bread takes place through five separate tirchas, but it's one action. It's one action which takes place through a few physical steps, physical mechanical steps, but it is in the abstract, it's one action of making an oven full of bread. Give me one second. So the question is, I'm not sure exactly how to clinch it, but is the heter of a malachas ochel nefesh, a malachas yantif. You define the malacha as malachas yantif, so to speak. You delineate the mother maisa as a maisa of malachas yantif by the mechanical identity of the action. It's like you have an action, and that maisa malacha is like a physical maisa. You define the maisa as a maisa of yantif, vis-a-vis like the physical characteristics of the action. Or you could define the action based upon like a more like a conceptual, I don't know, functional approach in which you'll define it as one action which has the property of malachas yantif. See, I'm not sure. It's not a very good definition for the punchline. Like, I see two ways of looking at it. There's two ways of looking at the action. I'm just not sure. Like, I don't want to make it a question of how do you define an action. Right? I want to somehow, the question should be a question about yantif and about the heter of tzor hachol nefesh for yantif or something like that, you know? Like, as opposed to just saying, does tzor hachol nefesh look at it like this, or does tzor hachol nefesh look at it like that? Like, you'd want it to somehow be some idea of tzor hachol nefesh which will look at it this way or look at it that way, as opposed to just saying, you know, how do you look at tzor hachol nefesh, you know? So I feel like it's a step, and it's almost there, but I feel like it still needs like a clinching step. What I like about it, I think that's why Rashi's pointing you is the tircha, because he can't say maisa. See, that's why I think Rashi can't say it with one maisa. Because that's the whole machlokes, because everyone agrees is one maisa is what's mutter. Everyone agrees one maisa, the maisa has to be a maisa malchus yantif, and there's one maisa malchus yantif is mutter. The only question is, are these five separate maisa or is it one maisa? So the idea of the first in the Matana Kama is defining maisa based on tircha. So that's what he's saying, is the reason why you could do the five pieces of bread is because it's one tircha. The pot is because one tircha, but this is five tirchas. And that's what makes it into one maisa and five maisa. But the other mandamar is going to say, no, that you don't define it based on tircha, and it is one maisa. Everyone agrees it's one maisa. Everyone says their thing is one maisa. The only question is the first position, the whole crux of the first position is that you don't define a maisa based upon the tircha. That you don't define it, that you define the maisa based on tircha. So that's why I say it's chad tircha versus other tircha. Just say maisa, that's the way your machlokes is about. It's not clarifying the nature of his, it's not clarifying his position. Mars point that you could say, and if you want, you could to determine, is it a maisa, is the mouth here for the maisa or for the activity? The action or the activity? The action is five separate actions. Because an action is just a mechanical thing. What are you doing? But the activity includes the context and the whole, you know, it's going to lie more than just the mechanics of the thing. So you can say it's five separate, mechanically, it's five separate actions, because five separate tirchas. But in terms of the human activity, it's an activity of baking an oven full of bread. So the maisa, but maisa could be an activity. I mean, maisa, the term maisa doesn't necessarily mean like an action. So tircha is what it says, that we're defining action merely purely based on the mechanics of the thing. The physical motion that he's doing, the five separate things. But if you define it as the activity, the only thing is, like, I don't think anyone's going to go like an action. I mean, like, for instance, everyone I think would say, like, making a chicken, you know, you have ingredients, or making a cholent is not 50 actions, you know. It's one action, making a cholent. It's like here it's like you're making a piece of bread and you're making a separate piece of bread, and like, so to speak, discrete, you know, discrete things. It's not just like a top shell, like a mix. They're separate things. You form it, you this, you that, you know. So then you're making it's one, they're separate. They really are separate actions of making this piece of bread and action of making this piece of bread. You do each one fully independently. But in terms of the person, in terms of like human activity, I would say, what are you doing now? I'm picking a batch of bread, baking an oven full of bread. You know, so the activity is you define the heter, the tzocha hol nefesh, like relates to the human activity. So you can say it's one in the process. The only thing is like another thing, which is I wouldn't just say if I'm making a lot of pieces of a lot of eggs, a lot of omelets, it's one activity. Even though you could call it one activity of egg making, it's because what unites it to be one activity is that they're mutually that they affect each other. It's not just because you happen to do a lot of them back to back to back to back, so it becomes one activity. It's like what makes it into one what's mitzayer them as to one oven full of bread is because they affect each other, right? If you wouldn't just say that's why you can't just say it's baking bread, because if you're baking bread like an hour oven, so then they say it doesn't work. Because an hour oven, it doesn't make a difference. So not ovens, even if you made 110 pieces of bread, essentially you're making 10 separate pieces of bread at the same time. So you're doing two actions at the same time. So it's not just because they're consecutive that it makes them into one action, one activity. But it's because they're mutually beneficial. So therefore it's like they come under one heading of making a batch of bread. It's not just for practicality. It's like, that's not an excuse, because it's easier for me to not have to make it two separate times. That's not the thing. It's because they're benefiting each other. Yeah, so, well, it's late. So I think I have to get this better. Maybe we can think about this some more. Maybe we can try to, something is not clinching. But before I do that, I just want to tell you what we're going to do for next, as a continuation, is the Gemara on Yud Aleph from the Beis at the top. It's the question is, could he salt a lot of pieces of meat, you know, in a row? The same thing. Okay, so machlokas. So machlokas, whether that's permitted. Okay, so we can do that. So top of your alphabet.